Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband, still trying to reconcile with his wife, because I remain in love with you. In spite of all the rejection and outright hate you've shown me, I'm in love with you. And, you know, I pray for you constantly, and our kids, and desire to be with you again. Several things. There's something about my smoothies lately, because for the second time while preparing a smoothie, I look outside and there's a sheriff again. So for the second time, the sheriff came by today and dropped off essentially, it looks like, the same papers as last time. It appears what happened, and this is just from the brief understanding I have, because unwillingness to direct communications, obviously I'm willing to communicate with you. Your willingness to communicate with me is clear. Doesn't exist. In spite of the fact you promised you would. But anyway, so it's basically the same paperwork and requesting a response from me within 10 days. I thought about it. Because post the first time, the two sheriffs, this was only one today, getting weak, what can I say? The visit, reviewed myself and dialogued a bit on it with my friend Chris on Acts, basically 21 through 28, where Paul was negotiating with the state, shall we say. And tried to look into that and see what kind of insights there might be, what it's appropriate to do as a follower of Christ. Because it's clear we are not to use the state, the 1 Corinthians 6, but when the state is imposed upon us, we have the clear command to submit to the state, to where it is lawful within the bounds of the Lord to submit to the state in the Romans 13, which is mostly, pay your taxes and don't revolt. That's the great summation I got from Chris long time, which I thought works out quite well. But there was no call to be part of the state, which was, clearly a mistake in my part, which I have repented of. So the question is, what to do when the state is imposed on you, not just taxes, but obviously in the case of what my wife has done. And, twofold. One is she turned to the state as a definer of marriage. And no, marriage begins with sex and ends with death. That is clear in Scripture. You want to take me on that? Seriously. You want to take me on that? I can back it up. Obviously, if you can't back up a different position, if you back up the idea that the state controls marriage, for a follower of Christ, if you think the state controls marriage, why do you say you're a follower of Christ? You're a follower of the state, not of Christ. And again, one of the things that's so important is when you argue the case, as I do, that marriage begins with sex and ends with death, this is not a revolt. This is not go to the state and say you shouldn't do this. If the state wants to say marriage is man and woman, marriage is man and man, or woman and woman, or man and women and women and women, polygamy, or man and animals, or man and inanimate objects, or whatnot, as you see in Japan, if the state wants to allow for that, who cares? Let them. I have no desire to oppose the state. If the state wants to do that, fine. But for the follower of Christ, we're to be obedient to Christ. Not an institution that claims his name, not the state, but to the Lord. And obviously, both my wife and my father-in-law blatantly disagree with that. They yield to the state. This is obvious. And, I've made that simple request, but it's a horrible word, isn't it? I ask them to repent. I've repented of many things. When I'm wrong, as my wife has pointed out, when I'm shown that I'm wrong, I repent and stay committed to obedience to Christ. But, so the same petition, and again, it's 10 days to respond. So here's the deal. I thought it, you know, I took a hike today. So in my hike, I thought, okay, how should I do this? And so here's my proposal. I am going to follow the model of Paul in Acts, and I will give a written response as requested. You're not going to like it, because I'm going to show in the written response where, you know, it's this idea of do as I say, not as I do kind of thing. You know, rules for thee and not for me kind of thing. You've turned to the state. The state has a certain set of rules. You've violated those rules, but you're imposing those rules on me. So I will document that. Do you want me to do that? I will document that. And then obviously the same is true with the scripture. You claim to be a follower of Christ. And, you know, I'm sorry if the term is offensive, but you're spitting in the face of God in your deeds. So I'll document both. It's going to be time consuming, and I don't want to consume that time. So I think what I'll do is I'll do it this weekend. I've thought through what to do, and I'll do it this weekend. And perhaps I'll make some notes and then do it this weekend. But I'll make a request. I'll plan on submitting this back to the state Monday. You know, plenty of time. But I'll make a request. Withdraw your petition to the state before I do this. Please. Because what you're doing is wrong. It's blatantly wrong. You know, again, it's spitting in the face of God. You're saying no. No, when God says you do not go to court because it's a shameful thing, you've lost already. Read 1 Corinthians 6. It's right there, right in front of your face. And you're saying, no, this doesn't apply to me. Really? My wife and I used to read the scripture every day. Read a chapter a day. I don't know what she thought about that, but it was an important part of our life for me. I'm grateful we did it. But I was trying to live it, and apparently she and her dad don't. One of the things that I think about, I've heard again some more, both in England and in Canada, about how pastors within the institutional church are being jailed. Institutional churches are being closed up for proclaiming Christ. For proclaiming, and some of it is indeed on the marriage issue, the marriage between a man and a woman. So I am going to proclaim that the Bible states, it's not me, the Bible states that marriage is between a man and a woman. It begins with not a ceremony. It does not begin with a vow. It does not begin with an arrangement. It begins with sex and ends with death. Again, the 1 Corinthians 6:16, I think it is. It makes it so blatantly clear because it used the example of a prostitute. You use a prostitute for sex, and you're married to that prostitute. The verse is very clear because there's the analogy. It's the pointing back to the Genesis passage. The two will become one flesh. So those guys who have sex with prostitutes are polygamous, and obviously an adulterer, and of course a prostitute is an adulterer. That's blatantly obvious. But again, just as I've described when I made the video on the Bible is true and the institutional church is a fraud, use the example of also on marriage of Romans 7, where it talks when the husband is dead, the wife is free, which is supporting evidence for Romans 6. And I would suggest the marriage example in Corinthians is again supporting evidence. Why do they use marriage? Why does the Lord use marriage as supporting evidence? because it's blatantly obvious. Marriage begins with sex and ends with death. It's simple. And the wife is called, 1 Corinthians 7:11, to reconcile with her husband. And my wife says, "No, Lord, I have a better way. Your laws, your decrees, your commands are rubbish. I have a better way." So again, I ask for my wife to repent. Why would I do that? Again, quoting Paul, "Have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? I tell you this because I love you more than any person on earth. Dorothy Jane, I love you. It's a really big deal to me. You consider the amount of effort I'm putting into reconciliation. If you don't think I love you, you're not looking at the obvious, or you're hiding from the obvious. My lady, my wife, the woman I have such joy calling my wife, I love you, and I want you back."